Good morning, guys. Come on in. It's amazing how church changes. We miss the students. Pray for the students this summer. They have conquered finals. Many of them are not here. Less students, more moms. Church is different. Happy Mother's Day. We are going to break from our regular scheduled programming to bring you Mother's Day. Yes. Hey, Timo, would you grab the doors there for me? Thanks. Okay, well, we are going to have a relaxing Mother's Day. I made a PowerPoint, so you will not need to open your Bibles. You can sit back, drink your coffee. But let me pray briefly, and then we'll get started. Well, Father, would you bless us? I thank you for your promise to be with us, and your promise to be with us includes, God, that where two or three come in your name, you're there. It's a little intimidating to have the God of the universe with us. God, thank you for being with us this morning. And I pray that you would speak and grant faith to our hearts that we might enter your rest this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I was with a church leader recently. Not too recently. And we were sitting and we were listening to a message, and this church leader said, "Mother's Day. American churches doing Mother's Day. They're so soft. They're so cultural." And I was a little taken back by it. I went, "Oh, well, we don't always do Mother's Day messages, but that's kind of a strong opinion." And he was kind of thinking that God really cared about other things. God really cared about the preaching of the word and other things. And I thought, what do I think? So I started rolling through my mind. And the verse that came to mind, isn't that nice? Doesn't work. Okay, great. Ephesians 6, this is Paul, he says, "Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." And I went, okay, we're supposed to give honor, that we, there's a promise there that we live long, that it goes well. I want to live long, I want it to go well. I think honoring moms is kind of biblical. Okay, you know, this verse he's quoting from somewhere, and you think he might be quoting from Exodus because that's where the law came, but he's quoting from Deuteronomy. Here's what he's quoting. "Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged and that it may go well with you on the land which your God gives you." All right, we got the Old Testament. We got the New Testament commanding us to honor our moms. And now we have Jesus. Because when Jesus is talking to the rich young ruler, and the rich young ruler says, "What must I do to be saved?" Jesus starts listing commandments. And one of the ones he lists is, honor your father and your mother. So honor. We are supposed to honor. So I go, okay, well, what's honor mean? High respect. That's what it means. Great esteem, to give importance to, right? To give kudos to. So that is what we want to do in practice this morning, because God said so. He said so with a promise, and we are going to do obeying God here this morning. Happy Mother's Day. If you're a mother, please stand up. Let's give him a round of applause, and we have a gift for you. Once you've received your gift, you can sit down. Aren't they cute? Right here, Ella, right up front. There we go. Chelsea, the one holding a child. Here we go. It's her tradition here at Desert's End, homemade chocolates. Happy Mother's Day. All right, I want to share three thoughts about Mother's Day. Okay, thought number one. Mothers are influential and powerful. I want you to own that this morning. It may not be something that gets preached a lot out in the world, but this is true. I want to have a read this verse together. 2 Timothy 1:5. Paul is writing a letter to one of his dearest disciples, partners in the gospel. Paul's Time Magazine said is the most influential man that ever lived. His closest sidekick was Timothy. He's writing his last letter to Timothy. This is one of the things he puts in here. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that is in you as well. These grandma and ma gave a faith to Timothy, and it changed, could we say it changed the world? We could probably say it changed history. Could we say that Timothy walking out his faith changed us as he walked it out with Paul? He could. These women intentionally passed on their faith. And obviously that is not a passive thing, to pass on your faith. It is an active thing. D.L. Moody said this: the impression a praying mother has on her children is lifelong. Perhaps when you are dead and gone, your prayers will be answered. What's he talking about? D.L. Moody he loved to talk about prayer. And he prayed for friends of his. And after he prayed every day for his friends. And after he was dead, some of his friends, his prayers were answered in his friends. There, he believes as you pray, God will answer a long time from now. That's his faith. So he's talking here about there's a praying mom, and just the impression of a mom praying has an impact. That has an impact. Not to mention that the prayers you pray can be answered in your children and in your children's children and down through generation. Charles Spurgeon is pretty good with words. He said this: in my early youth, no teaching ever made such an impression upon my mind as the instruction of my mother. Neither can I conceive that to any child there can be one who will have such influence over the heart as the mother who has so tenderly cared for her offspring. What is this great man of faith saying? He's saying that you moms have power in your words. You have influence. Partially because of the love, because of the care. That is influence enough, but then your words are of influence. Your teaching will never be forgotten by your kids. Spurgeon goes on to say that if you have a mom who prays, if you have a mom who is godly, then you have something that Spurgeon says is inestimable worth. And then he like struggles to put it into words. He basically says, I don't have words to explain this. And if you read any amount of Spurgeon, you realize that is a very, very rare thing. Inestimable worth. You can't put a price on having a mother who is godly and who prays. One man said, oh, let's do this one. Children have never been very good at listening to their parents, but they've never failed to imitate them. That's a playwright. But I go, oh yeah. Oh yeah, a lot of us, we imitate our parents in ways that we don't even want to. We walk as our parents walk, and whoever we spend time with, we walk like the people we spend time with. And as a mom, you spend time with your children, and then that rubs off the place of influence and a place of power. Your teachings will have an impact. I kind of view it like there's tablets of stone inside a heart. And those tablets of stone are kind of core to what we think about and how we think about ourselves and all these tablets of stone. And then parents' words, a mother's words, goes in there with this like powerful hand or words, or however you want to think, and carves into the stone. And that can't be changed. It's powerful. Mothers are powerful. You know, kids come out and they have their values. Well, they don't have values, right? They get their values from their parents, and that's a mom's job, is to take their values and to give it to their kids. Deuteronomy says, hey, we should impress our values on our kids, impress the things of God on our kids. And there can be this thought, like, I want to let my kids decide about religion. I want to let my kids decide about this. Oh, they're a little kind of young. I want them to grow up, and then they can kind of decide. But that's not what the Bible says. Kids come out, and they're looking, where do I get my values, and how do I live life, and who am I? And they're asking these questions. Moms need the answers. Parents can give the answers. And I was thinking about this for my kids. It's kind of like, okay, well, what values might my kid get? And I go, well, I've got values that I might intentionally teach him, but then I would also have values that they pick up from the world. If I don't teach them, the world will. So they happen to like TV shows. In movies, and I bring them. I go to movies with them. I happen to have a family that likes to read, and books are devoured in my house. And in all those TV shows, and in all those movies, and in all those books, there are values being communicated into my household, into my kids' minds. I also need to communicate values. There are people that are paid a lot of money to try to figure out how to get their values into my kids. And I have a position of power to be able to communicate. Parents and communicate values. Here's a verse, Proverbs. The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one tears it down with her own hands. I like the end of that. It feels like why in the world would this woman possibly tear it down? But a wise woman builds up her house, builds up the kids in their life, builds up the husband, builds a place of safety, builds up kids' confidence, builds up husband's confidence. There is a building that could happen, and there is power, very much power, in the words of a wife and mother. You have power for good and power for evil. You know, in Proverbs 1, it says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. It says, right? It says, keep listening to your father's instruction and don't forsake your mother's teaching. That means that mothers are teaching. That's what it means. If you do, if you build up, if you teach, there's a legacy. There's a legacy. There will be joy that comes back to you. I'm going to run by a few quotes because there's power in a mom. Here's Ralph Waldo Emerson. Men are what their mothers made them. Wow, that's pretty straightforward. The future destiny of the child is always the work of the mother. Napoleon saying it strong. All that I am, my mother made me. John Adams. I am what I am because of my mother. George Washington. I don't know the name of that woman, but I know the name of George. She exerted power. I learned more about Christianity from my mother than from all the theologians in England. This man started a church movement, the Methodists. You might have heard of them. Second way of power for mom is praying. Not just in words, but prayer. You know, Hannah prayed desperately, and then she named her son Samuel, which means heard by God. Prayers are powerful. One man said, many a man have been kept straight because a mother bends her knee. It's kind of fun. Here's Abraham Lincoln. I remember my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. That's interesting. I like that, clung to me, like they are in his memory. His mother's desires, her prayers. You can't escape those. So this is the first thing I want you to do, Mom. Celebrate inside you. Celebrate. You are a mother. And that, God has given you that, and it is an honor, and it is a trust, and it is grand in the sight of God, and you have power because of that. You have responsibility because of that. And you have honor. That's point number one. Point number two is that God honors sacrifices. This verse. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. The word in here I like is sacrifice, because Jesus is after sacrifices. That's what God is after. Here's it in the message. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life and place it before God as an offering. It's kind of dual. Because in one sense, God has baked it. He has baked in sacrifice into a mother's life. It's there. Moms do it. And you walk in it. But then there's the I am walking in it, but I'm going to walk in it and offer it as a sacrifice to God. Right? It's baked in, but there's also a choice. And I don't know if I have to make the point that mother's sacrifice is kind of easy point to make. You know, last year we watched a video that kind of made that point, and I just thought we'd watch it again because it's good, and you don't remember it because it was a year ago. You'll remember it as soon as it's up here, and at the end you'll go, that was good, just like it was last year. All right, can we roll that? Okay, perfect.
Hi, good afternoon. Sorry about that.
Hey,
verse I like. About King David. He says, no, but I will buy it from you for a price. He was offered something for free. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. Moms get to offer sacrifice that costs them something. And it is sweet to God. It is like God. So Jesus said he did not think he should be equal to God. And he gave up his life, and he made himself nothing. And obeyed even to the point of death. Mom's kind of like that. Well, whenever you want to lighten things up about moms, you turn to Irma Bombeck. No one ever told me that the empty nest is having the phone ring, and it's for you. It's having leftovers in the refrigerator that you can count on. It's having hot water in the shower, ice cubes in the freezer, and gas in your car. It's like being reborn. It is cute. And I think one of the messages that was on our heart to share and remind moms of is that sacrifice is seen. And part of Mother's Day is for the family to say, oh, we see the sacrifice, but even if they don't, they can't know the full extent. But God can. And he sees it. Daily sacrifice. Consistent sacrifice. And he is pleased with that sacrifice. And he rejoices in it. And draws close to you in it. And you can rejoice in it too. All right, last thought. This is probably the most important one. I would like to talk about what I have termed mom guilt. It goes something like this. I haven't prayed for my kids enough. I haven't been a safe enough person. I've yelled at my kids. I've been frustrated. I haven't met the emotional needs of my children. I don't spend enough time with my kids. I haven't taught them enough about the Bible. I haven't taught them enough about life. Mom guilt. What's your guilt? One mom said it this way. I have the desire to bring up godly, well-balanced children. Yet I often feel as though I never get beyond simply keeping bellies full, preventing World War III from breaking out in our home, and getting through the day, all while carrying a 1,000-pound backpack filled with fears, doubts, grief, and weariness. So here's the question. What do you need to feel okay about yourself as a mother? Maybe I could say it this way. What do you need to feel right? Or I could say it this way. What do you need to feel righteous? See, because our righteousness does not come from providing our kids with the most nutritious meals, with a picture-perfect childhood, or the best education. Our righteousness, our feeling okay about ourselves, comes from Christ. Comes from His love. Romans 5:19 says this. As by the one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. What does that mean? There was one man who sinned, Adam. He made us all sinners. So now, the long and short of that is, we sin. So if you're going to need to be a perfect mom to feel good about yourself, you're in trouble. Because we sin. Is that what you need? We can't look to our kids and our momming for our righteousness, our happiness, our feeling good about ourselves. We have to look to God. Only in Jesus are you free from mom guilt trips. We have to trust that. And He canceled that sin. So how do we walk, right? I ask God for wisdom. I seek God. And then I walk in freedom. I walk in joy. And that freedom and joy can allow you to do things that you would be guilty if you did. It could allow you to take a guilt-free nap. There are a lot of naps taken that are not guilt-free. You know, Carolyn Mahaney is a wife of a fairly well-known pastor. And she, her kids are all grown. But she was asked to talk about what she'd do differently. She was asked to talk about parenting. And so this quote is in the past tense a little bit. But this is what she says. She speaks of mom guilt. She says, when I put doing good, oh, I put this quote up here. When I put doing good before trusting God, guilt dogged my mothering. If my toddler threw a tantrum, I thought, my discipline is not consistent enough. If my teenager was spiritually lethargic, I believed my discipleship is not compelling enough. If my child fell behind, made a mistake, or sinned in any way, I berated myself. You're not helping them enough. I lay awake at night rehearsing my deficiencies, revising my plans to be a better mom tomorrow. I obsessed over my failures and overlooked God's faithfulness. When I put doing good first, nothing good I did was ever good enough. I'm failing to be the mom that my kids need. Will they always carry the baggage of the pain they've faced? The burdensome trials in front of me are too much to bear. If only I had done more. Okay. This is the part. Find your guilt. Find it inside you. Name it. Think about it. I'm going to minister to it. You ready? Here we go. This is a familiar verse. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's a word I want to talk about in here for just a minute. I want to bring our attention to it, and the word is gift. Jesus wants to bring a gift to you. It's a free gift, just like all the gifts you'll receive on Mother's Day. Doesn't have to bring it, but he wants to. A gift. And that gift, according to this verse, is eternal life, but there's more than that. There's this. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know that voice inside your head that condemns you, that you're not enough? Here's the question. Is that voice Jesus? I don't think so. If Jesus has given you this verse of no condemnation, then that voice that is condemning you and your mothering and who you are as a mom, that can't be Jesus. Here's a verse. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. You know what I like about this verse? He owns his sin. He doesn't minimize it. He says, I have sinned big time. But in the same verse, he declares Jesus as greater. Jesus is greater in his saving. Here's another gospel verse here. Surely he has borne our grief, this is Jesus, and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Is Mother's Day ever a guilt thing for you? Where people are saying, you're a great mother, but there's something inside you that goes, I don't know. You didn't see that one time. Or that other time. Or that thing I did that I still think about. I like this verse. Everyone is turned. But the beginning part here, his chastisement brought you peace. And that's the word I like. We don't sit here in church and minimize that your sin didn't have an effect. That it was just all good and it'll be all fine. But we do preach. Jesus has given a sacrifice. You're going to have peace. Because God is greater. Colossians 1. In Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by his blood on the cross. So we have the peace theme again, but this one's different. Your mothering is not like preparing a gift. Right? So I'm going to get a gift for my wife on Mother's Day, right? And so I go off and I go into the room and I say, she's going to love it. And I work on it. And then when the day comes, I bring it out and I go, Jennifer, look what I brought you, bought you, made for you, whatever. parenting isn't like that. And some of us can be like that. We're going to go off. We're going to try our best to parent. Try our best to parent. And then when we're all done, we want to go, Jesus, look! Look at all the work I did for you. That's not it. Jesus came and died on the cross so he'd be reconciled to him. Reconciled to him means we can be with him. So it's different. We parent because of Jesus' death on the cross. We parent with God. So here we are, Jesus and I, parenting. Jesus and I making kind words. And you know what? If you do that, you just kind of give up any of the glory because he's going to get it all. But you don't have to be the guilt. I have to bring something great to Jesus. We are going to do something. And we're going to take this adventure of parenting together with God. And it may work out to every dream we have. It may not, but it's with God. I've been reconciled to him. And this is what our guilt can do. When we have guilt, we separate ourselves from God. And we say, I got to make it up to God. So then I'm going to go here and parent really hard and do it right. And then I'll come back to God and I'll feel good enough to be with him. And Jesus said, oh, don't let your guilt do that. Because you'll just go out there and try your best and you'll just get more guilt. And you'll never parent with me. We need to trust the cross to parent with God. This is Psalm 147. Delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man. But the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. God has no interest in how good you do, how well you parent, how much strength is in your legs, or your back if you're picking up the house. Those who hope in his steadfast love. See, this is a change we make. This is a big change. To move from shortcoming conscious to God conscious. What do I mean by that? You can think about you and your shortcomings when you go to bed. Or you can think about his steadfast love when you're going to bed. And that's what I want to do together. Mothers, husbands, men, singles, kids old enough. Let's trust that God is bigger. He's bigger than our failure. He's bigger than our sin. He's bigger than the grief and the fear. He's just bigger than all the baggage. He's just bigger than all that. And so I trust in his unfailing love for the future. And as I trust in his unfailing love, I'll parent with Jesus. And that'll make a difference. And that'll make a difference. I wanted to break bread on Mother's Day. And I wanted to break bread on Mother's Day because I think there's two ways to honor Jesus. So we're honoring mothers, right? We honor mothers. What does it mean to honor Jesus' death? People getting up are going to pass out. Bread in the cup here. But honoring the cross, there's two ways to do it. One is to remember Jesus. To remember what he did, that he was pierced, there was a sacrifice for what's brought us. But you know what the second way to do it is? This is so challenging to me. Catch this. If Jesus made a bunch of sacrifices so that I'd have peace, do you know that honor that sacrifice is? To accept the peace. If Jesus made a whole bunch of sacrifices to grant forgiveness to me, you know what honor that is? To live in freedom and not guilt. That's how you honor it. If Jesus died that I would walk without condemnation, to honor the cross means to actually believe it and walk without condemning myself. That's honoring Jesus' death on the cross. And so I wanted to break bread so that every person here in their guilt could say, Jesus, I'm coming to you. And the verse Mike shared when he led worship, where Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Could we as a whole church, with Jesus here with us, tell God when we take communion, God, we enter your rest. We believe your cross. And it'll be imperfect, but God will be so pleased for us to come to him and enter rest. So, Mike, would you come up and play a little background music for us? We're just going to have a couple minutes for you to interact with God on your own, and then I'll come up and pray for us. Thank you, brother. Father, I think about my own guilt. The things I wish I were doing differently, the things I've done that I want back. And Father, I got two choices. I can hold on to them, God, or I can let them go and trust in your unfailing love for my life, for the future. I can trust in your forgiveness. God, if you are not going to look down and condemn me, God, who am I, God, to condemn myself? And so, Father, I let go. God, I let go of those things. God, and I trust in your unfailing love. Father, I pray that you would grant the faith in this room to let go. You'd grant the faith in this room that there would be clear consciences in this room, Lord, because you are worthy to be trusted. God, your blood washes. It washes. God, and brings righteousness. God, I feel good about myself, God, because you love me. God, and that has amazed me. God, help us know that and grab that and live that. God, that you care. God, I thank you for these truths. You have taken the written code and you have nailed it to a cross. And it is done. It is over. We are free and we will be with you in heaven, and our relationship with you is reconciled. God, and I thank you that it's you and me, together, at peace, right with one another in the world. God, I pray, God, you would help us to live our lives and do the things that you asked us to do with great, that are full of importance, that we could do them with you. Would you change us, God? Change us from self-conscious to God-conscious. Help us think and rejoice in your truths more and more. Jesus, I thank you so much for dying on the cross for me, for taking it all, for living in all that guilt. And thank you, Father, for giving up one of your children, your only son. God, that's how you communicated it to us, that we might catch the amount of pain that it would cost you. God, I can't imagine losing a kid. And yet you said, that's what I walked through. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you for our mothers. Bless them, Jesus. Give them the best. Thank you for making mothers in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.